Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. We are today in your presence, Lord Jesus. We come before you, present to us in the most blessed sacrament. We ask you to set us on fire with your love, to recreate and to renew us. Help us to keep our hearts open to whatever you desire for the time we spend together this afternoon. We love you. We adore you. We worship you. Amen. You may be seated if you'd like for the talk. So last evening, Father Michael focused on the theme, come to the heart, come to the fire. And he helped us to see more clearly that the heart of Jesus, present to us in the Eucharist, is on fire with love for us. Jesus' heart is ablaze with a love that longs for us, that desires us, that thirsts for us. So Father Michael helped to set us on fire. And tomorrow, Father Ben will have our concluding talk at Lourdes after the end of the procession. And he'll help us to think and inspire us a little bit more about how to spread that fire. This afternoon, my reflection focuses on what happens when we come to this fire, us personally. How are we changed through an encounter with the burning heart and love of Jesus Christ? I hope that as I speak, you will be listening to Jesus' gentle voice speaking to your own heart, even more than to my words. I hope that we are all open to considering how he desires for the fire of his love to transform each one of us today. But before I get to some of the ways in which the fire of Jesus' love can change us, I'd like first to consider why fire is so often used in Scripture and by the saints as an image or metaphor to help us understand God's love. Why does the letter to the Hebrews, for example, say that our God is a consuming fire? Why in the Old Testament did God appear to Moses in a bush that was on fire but not consumed? I think we can find a few clues from the natural world to help us understand this image of God's love as a fire. In recent news, we have seen the power of a consuming fire as once again a great wildfire has overtaken parts of Canada this summer. Videos and pictures of people fleeing their homes against the backdrop of a wall of fire are quite honestly terrifying, as were those from the fires in Los Angeles last year. Speaking of God as being a consuming fire, if taken seriously, ought to cause us to fall to our knees in awe before the awesome power of God. Yet the comparison of God's love to fire is also a profoundly hopeful one. About 20 years ago, I traveled to Yellowstone National Park for the first time, and I saw the effects of a fire that had blazed through that park in 1988, leaving a wake of devastation behind. However, by the time of my visit in the early 2000s, new young trees were growing amidst the charred remains of their ancestors. And I learned that certain species of trees, including those in Yellowstone, only release their seeds when their pine cones are heated by fire. What seemed like the end of the forest was actually its regeneration, the beginning of new life. This dynamic of the regenerating power of fire shows us something about the fiery love of God. If we truly allow the fire of God's love to burn through our lives and hearts, it may sometimes seem to us like all is consumed, even like a wake of devastation is left behind. But in time, new life will grow. We discover that we are not consumed, but made new. Every time we enter into the presence of our Lord, every time we come to Jesus really and truly present to us in the Eucharist, as he is today on the altar, we come into the presence of his fiery love, which desires to burn away all that is not good, all that is not necessary, all that is not of him. He desires to burn in us until we come to burn totally and fully with the fire of his love. Will we allow him to do this today and every day? Will we give him permission to make us new? Practically speaking, what might this look like? I have a few possibilities to share. If one resonates with you, I hope you will take notice and talk with Jesus about this in the time of prayer that follows. First, and as Father Michael shared last night, the love of Jesus is longing to burn away our sins, great and small. He receives us and loves us as we are, but he does not want us to remain in our sins. He knows how much they hurt us and others. His love desires to burn our sins up in the fire of his mercy and forgiveness so that new life and greater love can grow in their place. If there's a serious sin that you've not yet brought to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, I would encourage you to do so today. Our priests will be hearing confessions throughout this time of adoration, with lines forming on either side of the church along the stained glass windows. The love of Jesus is waiting for us there. And if for some reason you're not able to make it to confession here, all our parishes offer the Sacrament of Reconciliation this afternoon before our evening masses. And even if the sin is not serious, we can still bring it to the Lord for his purifying love. Second, today, maybe Jesus wants to burn away the lies that we believe. Every day, voices other than that of Jesus whisper and shout all kinds of untruths at us. You're not good enough. You're unlovable. You are a failure. No one really wants to be your friend. You need to do this or be like this to be loved and successful. Just give in to that sin. No one will ever know, and it doesn't really matter anyways. If God really cared about you, he would fix that situation for you or give you that thing you desire. The list goes on. When we approach the fire of God's love, its light may reveal a lie that we believe, a lie that has more power than we realize over us. God's love wants to burn that lie away, so that truth can grow in its place. Truths like, God does love me infinitely and perfectly. God is always with me. He will never abandon me. There is nothing that I can do that will change God's love for me. God is always working to bring about my good, even if I can't see it yet. My choices matter. And God will give me the strength to choose the good. If there is a lie you've been wrestling with, bring it into the light of God's fiery love in prayer today before the Blessed Sacrament. Ask Jesus to burn it up and for the truth to take its place. Third, perhaps there are even some good things in our lives that God desires to burn away, to make room for the best thing, his very self. The list of good things that can take God's place, sometimes without us even realizing it, is pretty long. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's work or a hobby or a favorite pastime. Maybe it's seeking the respect of others or a preferred way of doing something or an opinion we hold. Maybe it's a desire for something good that God wants to refine and purify. Maybe it's even the gift of good feelings and insights in our prayer. As good as whatever that thing might be, would we be willing to let Jesus burn it away if it stands between us and growing in friendship with him? If you feel the fire of God's love burning in you this way today, think of it as Jesus asking you these questions. Will you really love me? Do you long for me, desire me, thirst for me the way that I thirst for you? Will you let me burn away anything, even good things, so that I can lead you even deeper into intimacy and friendship with me? If this is how his fire burns with us today, will we say yes and remain with him? Sometimes we may literally have to let go of people and things. Other times we need to learn a new way of being with that person or making use of that thing so that God alone has first place in our heart. Only God can reveal what he is asking of you personally. But what we know is that God always wants to give us his very best. As we allow the fire of God's love to burn out of us anything that keeps us from growing deeper in friendship with him, whether that's the sins we've committed, the lies we believe, or even the good things and desires we have for prayer in our lives, we will find that he will set us on fire with his love. We begin to love God, others, and ourselves with a pure, unconditional, and selfless love. We long for and thirst for God just as God longs for and thirsts for us. We desire to share God's love with others so that they too can come to the heart and to the fire of God's love and be made new. For me personally, the Eucharist truly has been a purifying fire in all of these ways. I grew up in a church community that did not believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, and I thought the Catholics were wrong about a lot of things for much of my life. Yet somehow, as a student at Marquette University, I found myself drawn to the chapel that held the Blessed Sacrament, and I would sometimes pray there for hours at a time. Looking back, I know that my heart was drawn to Jesus, who I had loved my whole life, without my head understanding anything about the Eucharist being his real presence still here on earth. In time, my attraction to the Eucharistic presence of Jesus changed my whole life. I had to let go of many things I believed about the Catholic faith that were not true, misunderstandings I'd been taught about the faith. As I came to understand that Jesus truly was present in the Eucharist, the purifying fire of God's love burned through my soul to free me from sin, especially as I prepared to make my first confession at the age of 38. I also heard Jesus calling me to give up some very good things in order to say yes to becoming Catholic. I left behind a job in a workplace that was not open to Catholics. I moved to a different state twice. I lost friendships and the approval of some of the most important people in my life. And I said goodbye to a beloved church family. During my journey, the Lord purified my long and deeply held desire for marriage to show me that he intended to fulfill this desire differently than I expected. Many moments of this journey were very painful, but I would do it all again to receive Jesus just once in the Eucharist. I said that to people after my first communion, and I still mean it today. The new life that God has given me has been abundant, not least of which was receiving my vocation as a consecrated virgin living in the world. I believe that Jesus wants all of our lives to be changed by his real presence with us in the Eucharist. Maybe he wants somehow to upend your life in the way he did mine. If so, I hope you will say yes and let the fire of his love burn. You will not regret it. Or maybe the change Jesus desires for you today seems small. To let him uproot a lie or a sin, to give up some habit that keeps you from being all for him, to be a little more generous in your prayer, staying faithful when you feel like you're getting nothing out of it. We can remember that Jesus knows what we most need. And sometimes what seems small to us is the first step or the next step in becoming more like him. I would encourage you not to despise small beginnings because we don't know how God will use them to do great things in us. As I close, I'd like to share one more image of fire that's helped me understand the consuming and purifying fire of God's love. I once heard a story of a metalsmith who was explaining his craft. The smith took up a piece of metal with tongs and placed it in the blazing fire of the forge. The observer watched as he took it out several times to look at it before placing it once again in the fire. Finally, he asked the metalsmith, "How do you know when it's ready?" The smith replied, "Oh, that's easy. I know it's ready when I can see my image in it. I know it's ready when I can see my image in it." Do we trust the divine metalsmith to place us in the fire? Will we turn to him to purify us until he looks at us and says, "I can see my image in him. I can see my image in her. She now looks like my son Jesus. He has caught fire with my love." We are today in the presence of the consuming fire of God's love. Jesus burns with love before us today in the Eucharist. If we come close to him, if we reveal ourselves to him, he will renew us with his fiery love. We now have time to be with him in the silence and to be led in song and worship, time to continue to listen to him. And I can assure you the things he has to say to your heart are far more important than what I or anyone else has said. So listen to his still small voice speaking to you. How does he desire for his love to burn within you today?